How about letting me have my mic? While we're getting ready here for the rope jumping, there's a young lady sitting down here in the front of the on front row. What is your name?
Gail
Rogers. And she's doing a little survey on children's games. She came to the right place, didn't she? And they have a little tent up there near the Coke stand. And she'd love to have you come by and tell her about the games you know. I'll let her take it from there. You want to come up here and just say a word in a minute? But let's let these girls start, show you what they can do. You come on, stand up here by me. All right. Ready? great.
Well, that's an example of just the kind of thing we're looking at with our survey. And what we're looking at is what different kids know in different parts of Florida. So you kids out there, if you think you know some ones that you didn't hear here, if you know some other games or rhymes, just come on up to the survey tent and look at some of the questionnaires we've got there, and we'll help you with it if you need help. Thank you.
In other words, she wants you to fill out a questionnaire, and don't make this hard. Make this a fun thing. You know, you've been knowing these ever since you were knee-high to a grasshopper. So go up there and help her out and show her how smart we are without even knowing about it. Now, another favorite group of ours, doing American songs, folk songs, is from Niblack 6th Grade Learning Center in Lake City with Miss Louise Darst as their leader. We're so delighted to have you young people, you boys and girls, with your songs and games open the 29th Annual Florida Folk Festival. We just think it's wonderful. And we're so glad that we have added Friday morning and afternoon to the program. The program runs all day and tonight. Three programs tomorrow. Three programs Sunday, morning, afternoon, night. And Monday morning and afternoon. And you'll see a lot of different things. Oh, there are a lot of you. That's good. All the boys and girls used to come in March for Stephen Foster Music Days. And these young people have been here many times to sing and dance and play and kick up their heels for us with good old American folkways. And you know that folkways are things we did for fun, passed down to each other, and they take all sorts of forms. Ready.
Water coming, cool, but I'm tormented in the flames. I'm tormented in the flames.
Now, don't you all forget to go by that tent up there. Frank Thomas, where are you? Because you're on the stage quicker than a gnat can blink his eye. Frank and Ann Thomas haven't been coming to the Florida Folk Festival as long as we have, but they wish that they had because they've missed so much. And by the way, I want to tell you something wonderful. This year, for the first time, we are going to have on sale a record 25 years of the Florida Folk Festival for sale at the information booth, $7.50 for the record, and on the record, one side tale telling, the other side songs, groups, individuals, and some of those have gone on to heaven. So it's a very wonderful, unique recording, and it's for sale for the first time. Now let's welcome, if he's gotten here yet, Frank and Ann Thomas with Florida Folk Songs from Lake Wales. He not here yet? Why, that rascal. I told him as plain as day to be back there when Louise Darce's group was singing. Yeah, here he comes. He'll be out of breath, and that'll just serve him right, won't it?
You notice how all the... how all of the children got here on time when they were supposed to be here, standing
yes, sir.
So pretty. You noticed that, didn't you?
Yes, I did. We're going to give him a red demerit.
At least. If
and
not
make him
spanking.
Stay in after school.
Really, really.
Wear the dunce cap.
You know, I was glad to hear a lot of the music that I heard while I was waiting to come on stage. I used to sing some of those same arrangements when I was a little girl, and then when I grew up, I used to teach them to children's choirs, but I've never heard them done so well, not ever.
Oh, thank you, Ann. Thank you.
I'm sorry, I thought we was going on 11:45.
Well, don't put no dependence on your timepiece.
We like to start with a love song for the state of Florida. We call My Heart's Buried in the Sand. I've seen the Blue Ridge Mountains standing so high, the Shenandoah River with its valley so wide. I've seen all this beauty made by God's own hand, but Florida, I love you, and my heart is buried in the sand. The old Swanee River flows down from the north, the great Atlantic coast with its beaches and resorts, and the mighty Everglades in the southern reaches of this land. Oh, Florida, I love you, and my heart is buried in this sand. I know there are places in this world I'll never go, like the mountains of Tibet, where the wind always blows. But I know I have seen a part of nature's beauty plan in the great state of Florida, and my heart is buried in this sand. Oh, Florida, I love you, and my heart is buried in this sand. Thank you. Thank you very much. I see we got a lot of school kids out here today.
We'd like to tell you a little bit about Florida history. As many of you probably know, there were what was known as three Seminole Wars in Florida. From 1818 to around 1819 was the first Seminole War. The second Seminole War was from 1835 to 42. It was a genocidal war that a lot of people don't know about and realize today. It was a war of Indian removal, of course. The Seminoles proved to be quite a difficult tribe to get moved out of Florida. You probably heard of Zachary Taylor, Winfield Scott, Major Francis Dade. Well, they were all here fighting the Seminoles. Zachary Taylor got the name of Old Rough and Ready while he was here in Florida. You want to elaborate on that?
By the end of the Second Seminole War, the United States government had sent its army, its navy, and its Marine Corps to Florida. There were only a few hundred Seminole warriors, but all of those armed forces couldn't drive them out. The army even went to Congress and asked for the first United States Air Force. They wanted spotter balloons so they could go up at dusk and dawn and spot campfires and find the Indians to kill them. But the Seminoles, even though they were greatly outnumbered and even though they didn't have revolving rifles and whatnot like the American Army and Navy and whatnot had, are still here. We never succeeded.
General Winfield Scott came to Florida brave and bold. His orders were from Washington. Remove the Seminole. From 1835 to on up till 42. As the Seminole were hunted down, the righteous anger grew. With the treaty at Payne's Landing and the massacre of Day, through bribes and trickery, promises were made to make an Osceola wildcat and jumper too. Sam Jones and Alligator, just to name a few. With the capture of Osceola underneath the flag of truce, Sam Jones was fleeing southward to escape the news. On Christmas Day of 37 near Okeechobee Lake, Seminole and Miccosukee joined for one last stand to make. It was there in the fighting Zachary Taylor got the name. Victory, though complete it wouldn't be. Earmark the disaster at Okeechobee. Without arms and nearly starved and bloodhounds on their track. Facing Colt's revolving rifles, the Everglades to their back. This river of grass and elude their captors until the very last. For many years to come, the bloody fighting would go on, cause the Seminole would die before they'd leave the home. The government had vowed that drive them from this land, but descendants of the Seminole still walk the Florida sand. Yes, descendants of these Indians walk the Okeechobee sand. Thank you. Thank you a lot. In 1855, what few Seminoles were left in Florida were pushed way down in the Big Cypress Swamp in the Everglades. One of them was Billy Bowlegs, who was a sub-chief and kind of wanted to mind his own business and go his own way. He didn't like the white man's ways, and he wanted to more or less stay away from them. He had himself a garden down there where he grew some bananas, a little banana patch. And he also grew some corn and beans and squash and so forth. But the U.S. government came up with a brilliant plan to drain the Everglades. So they sent a survey team down to the Big Cypress Swamp, and they had a group of soldiers with them. The soldiers happened to find Billy Bowlegs' banana plantation there one time when he wasn't there. They just picked what fruit they could use, and they chopped down the trees and destroyed the garden when they left. When Billy Bowlegs came back and found out what had happened, it didn't set too well with him. He went over to the camp and tried to get them to make restitution. They just laughed at him. What resulted was known as the Third Seminole War, or the Billy Bowlegs War. Back in 1855, the state of Florida was young and bold. Living deep in the Everglades was a handful of Seminoles. Billy Bowlegs was a peaceful chief who made his living off the land. He didn't like their ways and he wanted to stay, for he moved from the white man. Bill had a garden where he grew some corn and squash and pumpkins and beans. But his pride and joy since he was a boy was a grove of big banana trees. And old Bill would fight for what he thought was right, and he got as mad as can be. That fateful day that he was away and they chopped down his banana trees. A survey team went into the swamp with a bold, brilliant plan to dig some canals and build some roads and drain that fertile land. They happened on Billy Bowlegs' garden one day while he was gone. They picked all the fruit and they chopped down the trees and they left it bare as a bone. Old Bill got just as mad as a snake when he saw what they had done. He said, "You obey," but they laughed it away and said, "We were just having fun." But old Bill would fight for what he thought was right, and he got as mad as can be. That fateful day that he was away and they chopped down his banana trees. Bill tried hard to control his wrath, he used a lot of restraint. But in the end, the war path would win, Bowlegs would wear war paint. Now this little tale I'm telling you is not just mere folklore. That tragic day put us on the way to the Third Seminole War. Because Bill would fight for what he thought was right, and he got as mad as can be. That fateful day that he was away, and they chopped down his banana tree. That fateful day that he was away and they chopped down his banana trees. Thank you. Thank you.
The only reason that the United States Armed Forces were pulled out of Florida and stopped trying to get the Seminoles out of Florida was that Civil War was about to break out, and that was a bigger threat because it affected the whole country and not just the peninsula of Florida. At the end of the Civil War, Tallahassee was the only state capital east of the Mississippi, which was still in the hands of the Confederacy. And although a lot of people, particularly Yankees, will tell you that Florida was not part of the Deep South, anybody whose family's from here can tell you different. Florida made a tremendous contribution to the Confederacy. It was Florida beef, Seminole pork, Florida vegetable crops and fruits, and things which were smuggled into Florida through the Union blockade, things like medicine, which sustained the Confederate troops throughout the war. Now, the only major battle of the Civil War that was fought in Florida was in Olustee, which is just east of here. We whooped them, sent them back to the Yankee land or Jacksonville or wherever. So the Yankees decided to come over to the Gulf Coast and come up the Gulf Coast and march inland up the St. Mark's River to take Tallahassee. There were no Confederate soldiers there to stop them, not any. But there was a school called at that time the Florida Seminary. Little boys went to that school. Of course, any of the boys in that school who were 16 years or older were already out of the state of Florida fighting Yankees in Georgia and Virginia and Carolina. So it was little boys from 11 to 15 who had to fight the Yankees that day. along with some old men who had been too old to go into the Army. And this is what happened when the Yankees stopped trying to fight Florida troops and tried to fight Florida schoolboys.
With the war nearly over and the Yankees closing in, Tallahassee still remained in Confederate hands. It really turned out to be a thorn in Lincoln's side. He said, you best take Florida or I'll have some bodies hide. As the Yankees marched down the road, it's victory, they'd say. Till you hear that rebel yell, cleared Appalachia Bay. Just a handful of schoolboys and crippled old men. That's all it took to put them Yankees on the road again. The Yankees came ashore at St. Mark's and felt at ease. Started marching inland, the capital to seize. But at a place called Natural Bridge, a plow hit a stump. They had some southern schoolboys breathing down their rump. As the Yankees marched down the road, it's victory, they'd say. You could hear that rebel yell, cleared Appalachia Bay. Just a handful of schoolboys and crippled old men. That's all it took to put them Yankees on the road again. I know that all through that war there was much bravery. Men would die for their cause, free and willingly. But all that fight a Natural Bridge, brave would be the man to compare with that home guard who made that fateful stand. As the Yankees marched down the road, it's victory, they'd say. Did you hear that rebel yell, cleared Appalachia Bay? Just a handful of schoolboys and crippled old men. That's all it took to put them Yankees on the road again. Just a handful of schoolboys and crippled old men. That's all it took to put them Yankees on the road again.
Thank you. We're going to tell you a story about a swamp bugger. Anybody know what a swamp bugger is?
This one's not history exactly. It's a legend, which means history that people tell each other. But nobody, you know, your grandfather tells your father and your father tells you. But nobody can get enough real, true, hard, scientific facts about it to put it in a book. But legend's part of history, too.
This is about One-Eyed Joe. Deep in the swamp where the gators are mean lives an old man who's long and lean. He's got one good eye and one that's bad, and everybody knows he's a hell of a man. See, his mammy was Amazon queen, sold as a slave in New Orleans. But she ran off and they never did catch her. See, his pappy was old Black Panther. She swam the Gulf of Mexico, trying to get back to the people she knew. She wound up in Florida with the Seminole, that's where she gave birth to Joe. One-Eyed Joe living alone, One-Eyed Joe, the swamp's his home. One-Eyed Joe, he's a hell of a man, Joe don't leave no tracks in the sand. Rattlesnake bit Joe right in the eye. Joe got sick, but the rattlesnake died. Now the snakes and the gators, they know he's boss. Look out for Joe if you get lost. Some men went in with a pack of hounds looking for Joe, but he couldn't be found. They caught sight of him once and their blood turned cold. They quit looking for One-Eyed Joe. One-Eyed Joe living alone, One-Eyed Joe, the swamp's his home. One-Eyed Joe, he's a hell of a man, Joe don't leave no tracks in the sand. Thank you very much, we've enjoyed it.
What's so exciting about this team is the fact that they research Florida ways and history and make songs about it. And that's how folk songs are born. Now, let's welcome another group of young people, boys and girls, playing children's games and chants. And they are from, well, they're not from Columbia County or Hamilton County or even Alachua County. They are way from down there in Ocala. What's that county? Marion County, of course. So let's welcome to the stage the Ocala Elementary School Group under the directions of Miss Peaches Jackson. Don't they look good? Let's give them a hand as they come on the stage. We like all those pretty vests.
Ladies and gentlemen, today for our first, for our program, we're going to do one spiritual with LaMonica Samuel as a soloist. And then we're going to do some folk games, children's games. The first is Going to Kentucky, Head and Shoulders Baby, Miss Sue, All the Girls, Valerie, and Hambone.
Oh, good. Going to do Hambone. Be sure to get it.
About working at the wheel, but I just want to see how the chariot feels.
Let me fly up to Zion. Let me fly up to Zion. Now let me fly up to Zion. Now let me fly up to Zion. Now let me fly up way up high, way in the middle of the air.
I've got a mother in promised land. Ain't gonna stop till I shake her hand. Not so particular about shaking her hand, but I just wanna get up to promised land.
Let me fly up to Zion. Let me fly.
Thank you.
I want you all to be sure to go by that booth up there where the young ladies wanting to collect children's games, especially for Hambone and for Miss Sue, and going to Kentucky. And what was the other one? Good. Now, also from Ocala. No, oh, excuse me, not from Ocala. They came a long way. Where in the world is Stewart? What county is that?
Martin.
Martin County. Man, that's way down the line. But here they are, these beautiful clog dancers, the Sailfish Cloggers, with their leader, Sally Rhodes. Let's bang them onto the stage.
Hello, everybody. We're real glad to be here from Stuart, Florida. We're the sailfish capital of the world, and we're down on the East Coast, about 30 miles north of Palm Beach. And this is the first time some of us have been in this part of the country, and it's just beautiful. And we're real glad to be here. And this is mountain-style dancing, and we're going to start out with a little mountain number called Liza Jane.
Thank you.
Liza Jane and some mountain dancing. Clogging is as old as our nation, but it also has kept modern pace with our nation. And one of the dances that our youngsters like to do is to the modern sound of Funky Town.
Won't you take me to? Won't you take me to?